Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. We use Stamps.com and love it, and right now you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Ghost. That's Stamps.com. Enter Ghost. Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own bunk bed bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own bunk bed bell.
Current though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your bunk bed bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. On today's episode, a listener has enough fun and games while touring the Queen Mary. A little girl becomes terrified of a home she visits while her mother is working. A man doesn't realize the person sleeping next to him isn't his spouse. And a listener's kids wish to have her abilities, but she shares why it isn't really a gift. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
There's no such thing as too many fun and games on the Queen Mary.
Okay. We'll just see what you think after the story.
Is it pretty dark?
It's not so much dark. It's just, it's more than just a feeling. It's like full-bodied apparitions.
It's more than a feeling?
Don't. I did not mean to do that.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you mean to or not. It just...
Oh, man. Walked right into that one.
And I didn't even tee that up. It was, you're just like, it's more than a feeling. I'm high on believing.
Okay.
That you're in love with me. That's such a different more than a feeling. There's another more than a feeling song, isn't there?
Uh-huh.
Or is that it? What's the other one? How's the other one go?
I don't remember.
The one I just said was like, really, that's like an oldie, if you will. How does it? More Than a Feeling was by who? The more modern version, like the 80s version. Huh?
It's by Boston, but I'm not going to sing it.
Is that implying I should?
No.
Then just...
Nobody should sing.
Okay. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's just going to bug me because I hear... I'll listen to it after the show. I don't know how it goes. Let's go into our... First letter here of the day. Does it kick off with the Queen Mary excitement?
Uh-huh.
All right. I'm excited. Here we go. All right. It comes into us from Lauren. Says, hello, my name is Lauren Lopez. Called in a few days ago, but the machine kept cutting me off. I have an interesting story related to the RMS Queen Mary. My boyfriend and I just started dating, and he knew that I was fascinated with paranormal shows. As a surprise, he decided to take me to the Queen Mary for my birthday and reserved a room on B deck, the most haunted deck on the ship. This is in October of 2013, so he was able to purchase tickets to Dark Harbor, which is a Halloween festival at the fairgrounds in front of the ship. We had a nice dinner at Sir Winston's, then start going through the scary mazes. We were not that scared and ended up taking goofy photos of the cast members who were dressed up. As it is getting later, we realize that they're closing the ship and need to get to our hotel room. We speak to one of the attendants, and he told us to walk on this deck, which is for staff only. It was very eerie, as if we were not alone. This was an area of the ship for the second and third class passengers when it was in commission. Now it's closed to the public. We eventually make our way to our room and get ready for bed since we were both tired, and then wake up out of a dead sleep at around 3 a.m. When I initially went to bed, I had a chair facing my side of the bed where I was lying down, not across from me, but on the right side, since I had my dress lying on the back. After waking up at around 2 a.m., I was scared and felt I was not alone. Then I started waking up every hour, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., etc. To calm my nerves, I shut all the doors and left the TV on. In addition to this, the walls are really thin, and I can hear everything that's occurring in the other rooms, talking, etc. At one point, I wake up to find someone sitting in the chair next to me. At this point, I'm speechless and cannot move. The silhouette was of a tall man. He then stood up and had his arms folded, staring at me. He was wearing pants, suspenders, a white shirt with the sleeves folded up to the elbow, and one of the old-fashioned hats like a beret. I then shut my eyes tight until the image goes away. I then am wide awake, watching cartoons and trying to not think of what had just happened. My boyfriend wakes up at 7:30 a.m. and I am extremely exhausted from no sleep. He then suggested breakfast and to walk around the ship until we go on our haunted encounter tour at 4:30 p.m. I did not want to tell him anything since we were only dating for 3 months. I did not want him to think I was crazy or weird. We continued to walk around the ship, and our first stop was B-340, the haunted room. It was out of use. He then says he's very uncomfortable around that room and is getting weird feelings. I then just want to leave based off my experience the previous night, but he insisted on continuing to explore. We then end up in the area where you can view the anchor, then go below to view the engine room and the exhibit that explains the experiences on the ship. World War II, first class rooms, second class rooms, etc. We then start exploring the engine room. In order to get to the bottom half of the engine room, you need to go down an escalator that's no longer operational. James ends up going down there without me, which leaves me to go down the escalator by myself. Suddenly, I just feel like someone is behind me, so I decide to move a little faster down the escalator, then start feeling uncomfortable by the watertight door and just stop, and then start calling for James to figure out where he is. I then just snap at him, saying, "I need to go back and do not like it down here, and I am done." This is the first time I've ever snapped at him, so he takes me upstairs to relax. I then tell him I was super uncomfortable down there. He then continues to explain as a tour we purchased later takes us down to the same spot. It took him 2 hours to convince me to go on the tour, let alone stay on the ship. I then started getting more comfortable since 40 people roughly were on the tour. We then got to the engine room again where I felt uncomfortable. The tour guide then explains that this door is where an engineer is killed and crushed to death. I was happy to understand why I was uncomfortable, but I would not be caught dead in that spot by myself again. I have many more stories I'd love to share, but we'll save them for another time. I do have one more point to add. 3 years later, my boyfriend, fiance are planning our wedding on the ship. So we scheduled a meeting with a wedding planner in February. James decided to bring his EMF reader on the ship. He was curious and goes to explore the haunted room B-340. There was surprisingly not a lot of activity, barely half of the spike. He then decided to take it to the old room where I saw the figure. It was red hot, spiking to the maximum level. Thank you. Regards, Lauren.
I think sometimes just, you know, the human meter is better than something saying, oh, yeah, there's something here.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't always stay where they're supposed to stay. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe they were that spirit was supposed to be in that other room, but it traveled down the hall. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that if you're the ghost and you like haunting people and they stop letting people stay in your room and you have access to move, you're probably going to pick another room.
I would.
Eventually, the whole ship will just be like not stable because it's just so haunted. And then eventually, so a place like that, I can't imagine in our lifetime that it will ever go away unless it like burns down or something. But if it's, you know, still functional, at some point in history, you have to figure it's going to go away. It's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether it's destroyed by whatever natural disaster or whatever, let's just say it ends for whatever reason and the ship is destroyed.
Okay.
What happens to all the ghosts then of the ship? Do they just kind of hang out in that area? Do they end up going to other things in the area? Where do they live?
I would probably think a mixture.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Homeless ghosts would be like the most haunted little fairgrounds in the country right there. It's like, and this fairgrounds is home to the homeless ghosts who used to be on the Queen Mary that was docked here years ago.
Well, I mean, what would people do if, say, that was like an apartment building and it, you know, burned? People would have to find a different place to be.
Exactly.
So I would assume they're going to find someplace else, and probably someplace that's familiar to them, either time-wise or an area where they were before anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Just interesting thing to think about.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Letha. That's an interesting way of spelling it.
Yeah.
It's like Lisa, but Letha. L-E-E-T-H-A.
Letha.
I've never seen that before. Uh-huh. Letha. That's when I would... I've already screwed it up once, but I would continually screw it up if I had to say that a lot.
I don't think you have to say it again.
Just because I don't read well. I honestly don't remember how old I was when this happened. So my mom was cleaning an apartment that had a couple of bedrooms, a bathroom, kitchen, basically a normal living space. One of the rooms had a couple of challenging stalls, just like the ones you'd find in a store. I became fascinated with it. I had never seen a room like that. My mom had told me to go take a nap while she was cleaning, since I had been tired. I went to the room with the stalls to take a nap, laid down on the floor facing the stalls. A few minutes after I had closed my eyes, I started hearing the changing stalls opening and closing randomly. I opened my eyes thinking that someone was moving the stall doors, but the stall doors weren't moving at all. Once I realized that I wasn't seeing what I was hearing, I felt there was a strong negative entity. I was so scared that it took everything in me just to call my mom. At this point, I was wide awake. I was very smart for my age, so it didn't make sense to me why I'd be hearing the stalls when I couldn't see them opening or closing. My mom told me that I was probably just dreaming. Me being the overly curious type, I wanted to see if that was true. I decided to see if there was a way that I could get the sound to come back. When my mom left the room, I stared at the stalls for a moment before slowly lying back down. As soon as I laid my head on the floor, the sound of the stall doors came back. Not once did I take my eyes from the stalls. The more I listened to the sound of the stall doors, the more violent it seemed to get, the more fearful I became. It took a lot, but I slowly sat back up. The sound faded until I could no longer hear it. I realized that I could only hear it, the sound, when I was lying down. After about three times of yelling from my mom, she just let me sleep in the living room where she could see me. This incident was the start of a chain of events where I could hear things that weren't actually happening. I complained about it to my mom a few times, but she didn't seem to believe me, so I just got used to it. It was also an extended period of time where the only odd noise that I would hear was heavy footsteps circling the middle of the room I'd sleep in, no matter where it was. Ever since this happened to me, I've had really strong feelings that an entity has always been following me, kind of like a guardian. It never felt threatening or anything like that. A few weeks ago, me and two of my friends, who are sensitive, had all been told individually by the entity that he had attached himself to me. A couple of days ago, we told each other about it. Sometimes the entity messes with things around me and sometimes tries to communicate with me as well.
So there were stalls in this apartment, like dressing room stalls?
I'm trying to understand what the stalls mean. It might just be another terminology for a smaller room or a door or a closet or something of that nature.
So I think she described it like dressing room stalls.
Yeah.
Regardless, to hear them, you know, flapping back and forth, and they're not really doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you wonder, like you said, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
When you're audibly hearing something and you know, like, it's like if you're looking over there and you're hearing the sound of the lamp clicking on and off, but it's not clicking on and off.
Right.
Or a chair moving across the floor, but there's no chair moving across the floor. What is that?
It's not really a residual because it's not actually happening.
Yeah.
But I guess it's kind of like when you see a ghost in using your mind's eye,
mm-hmm.
and you're not actually seeing it in front of yourself, but you're seeing it. So I guess it's kind of like that.
It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And I mean, I get that sometimes when I'm falling asleep, I'll think I hear something and it's not there. But mm-hmm. to actually be fully conscious and awake and then have that's, yeah. Hey, holidays, obviously, they are completely upon us. And getting out those cards, those packages and all that to friends and family all over the place, it can be a little bit overwhelming. But if you got stamps.com in your back pocket, you can make it that much easier. No wasting time at the post office. Okay, that's why you got stamps.com. Bring all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. And then the mailman picks it up. Plus, it's super easy. They send you a digital scale, which automatically calculates the exact postage, not just kind of the guessed postage of what you think, how many stamps you should put on there exact, so you don't waste money either. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail every time you print the postage, any day, anytime. Stamps.com, they're always open. You can do your mailing in the middle of the night if you want. We use Stamps.com here quite a bit. It's been very, very helpful for bunk bed bells and all that we've been sending out. And right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. Includes a 4-week trial plus postage and digital scale without long-term commitments. You got nothing to lose here. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in GHOST. That's G-H-O-S-T. That's how you, spell GHOST. Stamps.com, enter GHOST, and save yourself some money and time with Stamps.com. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Joey writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny." Joey from Cleveland again. "My last story about my experience in my aunt's house was featured in EPP episode 132, House of Hell. I had planned to become an EPP, but hearing a story similar to mine in a preview made me join immediately. Turns out it was my story. This story is kind of my husband's, but also involves me a little. The night I submitted my last story, my husband had a night terror. He's had them at least once a month for the last 9 years we've been together. I was awoken from my sleep to him shaking and muttering gibberish that was too tired. I was too tired to care about. I tossed my arm over him like I normally do and shook him awake before his dream could progress. To the screaming stages, I immediately fell back asleep like nothing was wrong. Next morning, I went about my daily routine, got to work, started up where I left off the day before with whatever ghost story episode I was on, and went on about my day. He works late shift as a nurse, and he sends me a good morning text every morning when he wakes up just to let me know he's awake in case I need him for something. Normally, I just like to pester him for fun. This morning, instead of getting my normal good morning text, I got a, "So you want to hear a fun story?" Obviously, I wanted to hear a good story, so he went on to tell me that when I woke him up for the night terror, he checked the time on his Fitbit to see how long he'd been asleep, and it was 3:33 a.m. He said when he rolled over to get more comfortable, he saw a shadow figure standing over me. He could make out a human shape blocking out the light from the lamppost that normally shines in our bedroom window. I was freaked out when I got that message. I asked all the questions I could think of at the time, like if he could make out any distinguishing figures or if he had a bad or good feeling, if it went away as soon as he saw it. He said he couldn't make any features out, just that it was a human shape. He said he blinked over and over to make sure he was actually seeing it, but never left. I just stood there beside me in bed. He said the room was cold, but it was also one of the coldest days we had here, and we kept the heat set low when we sleep. So rather than wake me up or make a fuss, he just went to sleep. Coming back to flipping sleep while there was a shadow figure sleeping next to his husband. It makes me feel so safe. So here I am weeks later, afraid to go to sleep because there may or may not be a shadow figure watching me sleep. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I'm sure to keep my eyes closed because as much as I love the paranormal, I'm not prepared to see a shadow figure standing over me when I wake up. My dog has started making rounds in the bedroom at night. She'll walk from her bed to around ours and then back to hers a few times at night. It makes me feel a little better, but makes me nervous too, thinking my dog knows something can be there I can't see. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. I'll write back in again soon with more stories. I'd call, but despise the sound of my own voice.
So if you woke up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night like you do 400 times every night,
mm-hmm.
and you came back and you saw a shadow person standing over me, what would you do?
Just go back to bed, you know. Probably
really?
turn on Frasier.
Yeah, probably.
Distract myself a little bit. I think I'd be a little freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what I would do. Because if I woke you up and then it wasn't anything there, and when you had awoken, which probably be gone.
Yeah.
You'd be like, okay, that's great. And then you just roll over.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that's how that would go. Unless it was like there hovering and you could like visibly see it, but if it was just something I'd seen and you did it, and you're like, oh, okay, whatever.
And then I will have no memory of that in the morning.
No, not at all.
At all.
No. So, I mean, the little do you know, this has actually happened to us.
It has not.
At least three times a month.
You are so full of shit. It has never happened.
But I never bring it back up because you know, I didn't want to freak you out. But now you know.
Okay.
The more you know.
That's great.
Jessica writes into us. Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Jessica from Rosslyn, British Columbia. I want to share my most recent paranormal experience with you. I have a number of incidents that occurred mostly in my childhood and early adolescence, but this one I think you'll find to be unique. I just finished my seasonal forestry job and decided to take a trip with a couple of friends to Tofino, British Columbia, stopping in Victoria along the way. My two male companions and I were visiting some friends on the island. Since our basement suite was small and the weather was good, we decided to pitch a couple tents in the backyard. We spent most of the day in the backyard playing Beers B and catching up. When it was time to retire to bed, my friend Mike and I shared a tent. After falling asleep for hours, I awoke suddenly, my eyes adjusting slowly to the darkness. I realized it must have been around 4 in the morning because although it was dark, I could tell the sun was just beginning to rise. In the tent, I felt that we were not alone. I couldn't close my eyes because I felt as if I was being watched. The feeling that came over me was that of dread. I could feel what I know now is paralysis pulling me into a nightmare. And that's when I felt it, the pressure on my chest and throat. My eyes opened. I could not move. I was so frightened. I couldn't tell whether I was awake or asleep, but I'd never felt so much fear in my life. I struggled to break free of the dream, to breathe. I was being suffocated. This went on for about 15 minutes until suddenly it stopped. In this moment, I lunged forward, trying to catch my breath, all the while trying to hide my whimpering cries. Mike, who was sleeping next to me, woke and attempted to console me, trying to understand what startled me so much. Minutes had passed before I could utter even a word of what I experienced. I was shocked from the incident and embarrassed for waking him up in a state of hysteria. Before I could explain to him what had happened, he said, I felt like I couldn't move, like I was being held down. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He stole the words right from my mouth. We fell back asleep and didn't speak of it again. The next day, I did some research and discovered that what I experienced was sleep paralysis. Although not uncommon, it seemed to me that this was different. How is it possible for two people in the same location to both experience the same time? It at the same time. Still, I feel from this day that something was terrorizing us, something paranormal.
And I agree, because you don't just have that happen randomly.
No.
You know, it would be too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, that really is kind of the one of the gateways to going, yep, this is beyond
sure
just a coincidence. So the answer is, how do two people have that happen simultaneously? They don't. With it not being something beyond
paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there you go. You had an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All right. Continuing on with another letter that's coming to us from realghoststoriesonline.com. Carly writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Carly. I'm from New Mexico. First of all, I would like to say I absolutely love your show. Found out about it about a month ago and have been listening nonstop since then. Makes my work days fly by, and I love each and every show. All my life, I've been very into the paranormal. I always love hearing stories and watching scary things on the television, but I was always terrified of something actually happening to me. One day a few years back, I fell to sleep pretty early this night, and the day was like any other day. Nothing out of the ordinary happened. The night I woke up, I could not move a muscle. I immediately felt something burning the left side of my face because I was lying on my right side. Opened my eyes and saw a dark shadow man hovering over me about an inch above me. I could see his red eyes just staring at me. It scared me. I started praying the Lord's Prayer repeatedly till I can finally move again. And as soon as I could move, the shadow man was gone. Looked at the time and it was 3:33. Thought it was very strange and I went back to sleep. But now I always wonder, why would I have gone back to sleep if I was so terrified? I always thought to myself that if something happens to me that scary, like that experience, I wouldn't go back to sleep as easily as I did that night. Anyway, I woke up that morning and was thinking maybe it was sleep paralysis, but I've never experienced sleep paralysis before. I was telling my mom about what happened to me, and she started to have a very scared look on her face, and she told me she had the exact same dream that same night around that same time of night that I did. She explained her dream and our dreams. They were almost identical. My mom does not believe in the supernatural or anything of that nature, so it surprised me that this concerned her. When I think about it, I still get chills all over my body, and I hope I never experience anything like that again. My family always told me that if you watch paranormal shows on the television, you open a door to let spirits or maybe even demons into your life. I'd love to hear what you think about what they told me, if you believe that is not or true. I have not had anything happen since then, and hopefully it continues like that. I sure hope I hear my story on your show, and I'd love to hear what you both have to say about my experience, whether you think it was sleep paralysis or something demonic. Keep up the good work. Carly from New Mexico.
I think you can have sleep paralysis and it not be demonic.
Sure.
So I think it's somewhere in between. It's not a like a actual sleep issue in this case. I would say it is supernatural, but I don't think it's demonic.
You can have the paranormal experience in sleep paralysis and it not be demonic, where it can be paranormal but not demonic.
Right.
Yeah. And the fact that the mom and her both had the experience, that's where I just like the last story, kind of sways it over into the world of it being something paranormal. I think it's interesting that Carly's parents said that to her growing up of, you could let this in, but they staunchly don't believe in the topic.
Yeah.
But they do when it comes to that. I think that the look on her face that she was confused by was more so, it's that admission that some people kind of have to go through where it's like, well, if I really don't want to recognize that this could be real.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes is harder than anything else, even no matter what the topic is. So I think some people are dealing with that, just some concept that you don't want to believe is a concept. And then what the concept itself is.
Right.
It's like a double whammy.
It is. And, you know, when she asked about going back to sleep, I sometimes wonder if they can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'm going to zap you. You're going back to sleep.
And you just go. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I would, I'd prefer that if that's a nice skill that they have, then I'm not sitting up. Because if it were, I feel exactly like her. If I had the experience, but I can say I did have a sleep paralysis experience, but I think that's all it was. Mm-hmm. It scared the hell out of me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did. I went right back to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I always said, if this ever happens to me or something like this happens, I'm not going to be able to go right back to sleep. I went right back to sleep.
Right. It's probably something, you know, maybe beyond your control in that case.
You're just so exhausted from the experience, and maybe you're just so drained, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same reason why someone could be doing a very important task and yet fall asleep at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like driving or something, where it's like every ounce of you would say, don't fall asleep, but your body at some point is more in control than your mind.
You're so exhausted.
Yeah. Once you cross over a certain threshold, it doesn't matter.
Right.
What you would instinctually in your conscious self say you would do. It's your body's going to do whatever it's going to do. Good story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802. Kayla writes in. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Kayla. I live in a small town in Tennessee. Before I get into my story, I'm going to give a little background information. When I was 5, my father committed suicide, and it was just my mother and me. My older brother was in and out of the house due to living in Ohio with his father most of the time. At about 6, my mother started to look for a new home because staying in the house where the suicide occurred was too much for me and my mom to handle. About 4 to 5 months later, she had found us a very nice 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom home that she could completely pay cash for and own. We moved in, and a few months later, did our best to get our lives back to the way it used to be. Fell in love with the home instantly. The main reason that my mom picked this home for us was because there was a volunteer fire department right behind our house, and the fear of a fire after my father's suicide was at an all-time high. One night, my mom and I were sitting in the living room watching TV, and she was saying her prayers. She's a very firm believer in God, and everything she did in her life was surrounded by Him. I was sitting on the couch when she said, "I wish I knew for sure if your daddy is still here with us." In the dining room, we had a wine cabinet with a lamp on top. At that exact moment, the words escaped her mouth. The light in the dining room abruptly turned off. I heard her mumble, "Terry," which was my dad's name. I looked back into the dining room and the lamp turned right back on. My mom and I just stared at each other, a little shocked and scared. A smile came across her face, and even at 6, I knew that my dad was with us. This was not my only experience with my dad. I'd be sitting in my room thinking about how much I missed him, and I'd instantly smell his cologne and get chills. We'd see shadows in the hallway of the house and hear sounds constantly. We weren't scared of these because we knew it was my dad watching over us like he always did in life. When I was 15, my mom was rushed to the hospital where 4 hours later, my brother and I got a phone call that she had passed. We knew her health was declining, but we didn't know it would be so soon. My brother got custody of me and we stayed in the home. When I'd come home from school, I'd feel the urge to go and sit in her room on the bed. I'll never forget the feeling I felt one night while I was lying in her bed. I was very upset that I was now 15 and had no one. Suddenly, I felt the edge of the bed sink in like someone was sitting there. I didn't feel scared. I felt pure comfort. I closed my eyes, drifted off into a deep sleep where I dreamt that we were sitting on her bed, talking like we used to. I'm now 20 and married. I no longer have experiences since moving out of the house. I do have strange dreams about the 3 children my husband and I have lost, where a black shadow is holding something wrapped in a baby blanket from the hospital. I like to think it's either my mom or dad holding their grandchildren, letting me know they're safe with them and everything will be okay. Thank you for reading the story. Feels really good to be able to explain all this without someone looking at me like I'm crazy. You guys have a wonderful show, and I listen every day at work and makes my time pass by faster. I'll soon become an EPP as soon as work picks back up.
I think they're both going to be with her since they both left her so early, especially, you know, the dad, but maybe more so the mom now since she was the one that primarily took care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't at all be surprised if she continues to have, you know, visits throughout her life.
Do you think that holds on until, you know, later life, or at some point when she gets to 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, it's like, okay, you're set now. You're on your own, just like a living parent maybe, where they kind of let go of some of the sure. parental controls a little bit more.
I think, like with a living parent, it'll probably back off, but mm-hmm. We get stories all the time of people, you know, much older than us
sure.
Sending stories where they're having visits from their loved ones during trying times.
That's true. So that's true.
Probably always going to be there.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that experience. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to support our show and keep us on the air, that's what an EPP member is. That stands for Extra Podcast Person. You sign up at our website, ghostpodcast.com. That's the website, ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up right through the website and access all of our EPP bonus episodes right there. Almost like 180-ish right around there that you can download and listen to. New ones every single week, even through the holidays, by the way, because we're going to be taking a little break from the regular free episodes, but running some greatest hits, if you will. But there will, of course, be new EPP episodes every single week. That's something we don't miss. We never take a break from. It's always 52 weeks in a year, 52 EPP bonus episodes.
Even when your appendix ruptured. Yeah.
Even my appendix, yes, that was actually one of my first concerns.
It was
how am I going to get the EPP episode done this week? And I was thinking, well, I have like a little like battery powered microphone.
Mm-hmm.
I could lay down and Jen could be right next to me and I could just kind of move it back and forth between us.
And we would totally freak out the person on the other side of the curtain sharing mm-hmm. a hospital room.
The hospital room, yeah.
Yeah.
I did a Facebook Live under heavy anesthesia.
Uh-huh.
The morning after my, and you can watch it at facebook.com if you want. I'm up there and I'm just chatting away with people
yeah.
without really caring. I think there's a little bit of chest hair in the shot too.
I'm sure there is.
Yeah, because it was the hospital gown. But anyway, ghostpodcast.com. If you want to be an EPP, $5 a month is all we ask. That's what keeps us on the air. You can sign up for a yearly membership if you like as well. There's some bonuses included with that, including either a bunk bed bell or a one-on-one phone session with us to discuss your ghost story. Fast pass as well to get to the front of the line with your stories. Otherwise, you're kind of stuck at the back of the line there as we get to them. And you can also sign up through Patreon as well. Option to do that if Patreon is your thing. $5 a month there. And there's also a couple upgrades over there as well. There's a $10 a month and a $20 a month level there too. Some of those include the option to get our free broadcasts that we put out in advance of everyone else and commercial free on the Patreon feed, as well as all the other EPP stuff. And there's a bunch of other cool stuff. One the actual bonuses over there, me being the voice of your voicemail.
Yeah.
Where I will record your voicemail greeting and say pretty much whatever you want me to say within reason.
Right.
So check it out. Ghostpodcast.com. Either sign up through the ghostpodcast.com website or through Patreon. Either way, your support is greatly appreciated. Green writes in, greetings, gang. Green Kingsley here. Green's been with us since like the beginning.
Yes.
The story I am about to give you today is not mine, but is my mother's. You may recall her story on EPP episode called Phantom Friends. I was and continue to be very grateful for you letting the story air and giving your thoughts on it. It goes without saying that when living a life like what she had, some interesting stories get picked up along the way. To that end, this is but one of a vast library of her incredible journey. You may recall at the end of the story that she found Wicca and became an adherent follower. She immersed herself in New Age teachings and old world paganism. With that, she came across many great teachers of many different practices, one of which could tell that my mother was a bent but not broken woman. She could recognize that my mother had been through a form of hell and that when that happens, she maintained, you lose part of your soul. You won't ever be fully whole in your life when this happens. She does not mean that joy will elude you. This does not mean you will not know peace. It simply means that part of you was taken and the fullness of self may be harder to achieve because of it. So what do you do when something takes your soul? You try like hell to get it back, of course. A ritual was going to be done on my mother called a soul retrieval. I'll spare you the details of the setup and nuances, but this, both women were lying on the ground, shoulder to shoulder. The priestess goes into a trance and enters my mother's hell, you might call it. This is where the part of the soul that she must enter is there to retrieve. Everyone has one, and they're all different. My mother's telling of this terrifies me to this day. Keep in mind, this is the early 1980s. I feel like movies may have desensitized us to an extent, so this may not seem so scary anymore or even original, but this is what the priestess saw when she got back there. Black sky, black shore, black ocean. All three are distinguishable from one another, but only just. It may as well have been outer space. But apparently, the cheerless abyss was my mother's ink-colored haze. Off in the distance was a singular figure. She was bobbing in water, just waiting. The priestess knew that this was the part of the soul that was missing. She had retrieved this little girl, so she swam. It took forever to get to her, but once she got to the little girl, her blonde hair turned black and her blue eyes did the same. She thrashed and gnawed and pulled at the priestess. With the power of 1,000 hands, the girl aimed to hurt the priestess with pure, vitriolic hate. The girl did not want to be touched. She wanted only to stay in the middle of this vast, sordid ocean. The priestess was being drowned by this child and had to get away. As part of the soul was irrevocable, it would seem, the priestess returned to her awake state. I think somehow my mother knew what the outcome was going to be. Her childhood was hell. The little girl of those days was unhelpable. The world was an ocean, and all the help children should know to have, she did not have. It was a telling and unfortunate reminder that innocence lost can sometimes be so much more. Sometimes it can be an angry, tormented aspect bobbing in a moonless abyss. Thanks for reading my story. I feel like we go from dark to thanks for. I'll give you some updated stories on my workplace and one from my time as a student. Let's say it's a Ouija board story. Bright blessings, Green.
I think that ties in with the energy that follows people mm-hmm. when they've had things like that happen.
Sure.
You know, and it's almost like how you would draw depression.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. exactly how it was described. So I don't know about the practice of going in and seeing somebody else's hell, but I know that that energy stays with you.
Sure.
Whether you want it to or not.
And it makes for a lovely canvas painting if you ever want to transfer that and put it in above your couch.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, what the hell is that? Like, well, that's just an experience.
Special, honey.
Yeah, wouldn't that be?
That would be special.
Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Would you do it on velvet or canvas?
I've never painted on velvet. I have no idea how that goes.
I think it'd be difficult.
Yeah, because velvet moves.
Well, maybe, but like the velvet pictures are usually pretty. You can't think of it as being like velvet, like on a jumpsuit. It's much. It's like it was shaved almost. So there's still velvet, but it's like really thin.
But
it does move more. Yeah,
it still moves a little bit. I mean, I've played with canvas more. But.
It's the art of velvet painting. I wonder if that'll ever come back as a big thing.
I don't know.
Velvet paintings. Brian writes in, my uncle used to live in a really dilapidated, spooky looking house. When I was a kid, we used to go over all the time for family dinners and parties. Never really felt comfortable in the house. I always felt like there was something strange about it. It didn't help that it was very dark inside and so spooky looking outside. There were no ceiling lights except in the bathrooms. It was only lit by lamps with, it seemed, two dim light bulbs. One weekend, I was staying over with my cousin. My aunt and uncle belonged to a bowling league and had gone out for the evening. His much older sibling was also out with their friends, leaving my cousin and I all alone in the house. We always liked scary movies and spent the afternoon and evening watching videos. It was getting pretty late and we were getting pretty hungry, so we decided to make some popcorn and grab some snacks. While we were in the kitchen, we heard the door close upstairs. It surprised us because we weren't expecting anyone home until much later. My cousin called up the stairs to see who it was and got no answer. We were a little spooked because of the movies we had been watching. We both decided we'd go upstairs together to check it out. We went up the stairs, checked in every room, and no one was home. During our search, we made a point to leave the lamps on and the doors open in every room we checked and left. Not finding anything, we decided we were hearing things and a little freaked out because of the scary movie, so we went down the stairs and grabbed our sacks and went back to watching our movies. About a half hour later, we were sitting on the couch when all of a sudden, at a particularly freaky part of the movie, we heard all the doors upstairs slam at once. We freaked out, ran outside into the neighbor's house to call his parents to come home. They weren't very happy, but they cut their night short and came home. When they got home, we went upstairs with my uncle so he could prove to us that there was nothing in the house. We found that all the doors that we had left open were indeed closed, and all the lamps we had left on were not only turned off, but all the bulbs had burned out. After finding that, I made my uncle take me home. I never slept over that house again. My family continues to visit them regularly, though I still, to this day, get this strange, discomforted feeling whenever I am there.
Yeah, I think something was goofing with these kids. Maybe not something super dark, but just like, oh, you're going to watch a scary movie? Well, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I would do if I were a ghost.
Oh, so now you'd be a mean ghost.
I'm not going to be a mean ghost, but I like to mess with people, mm-hmm. and I would totally do that.
Let's see.
Maybe especially if they're watching a movie that's too scary for how old they are.
Would you be scared of watching scary movies when you're a ghost?
No, because I'm
of being in the room and then all of a sudden The Conjuring comes on and...
I don't know.
Would it freak you out?
It might. It might.
Never thought of that before, did you?
No, didn't.
No. Got to think about these things. Paula writes in, I have very early memories. I remember falling into the bathtub when I was a year old because I wanted to touch the iridescent bubbles forming under the faucet. My dad fished me out after I was submerged. Remember the layout of that house? My parents can't quite believe I remember things from these early ages, but I've been able to prove I do. My sensitivity started about at age 2 when I remember playing with my friend Murphy. Murphy was invisible to everyone else, but pictures taken of me at that age in that house have sometimes odd light and smoke effects surrounding me. Moving from that house at the age of 3 left Murphy behind. I have, in my life, been in 3 extremely active houses, with everything to shadow figures, feeling watched, and a voice that said not only my name, but the names of my parents with their hearing as well. Move forward to my adult years in the house I now live in. This place is one spirit that runs through the front room and sounds like a herd of elephants doing it, witnessed by my ex-husband also. There's also this little child-shaped one that runs around corners into adjacent rooms. It's startling, but seems to just be mischievous and turns lights off in one room. We don't see that one often anymore, as it seems to be around only when children are here and our 7 are grown. My son had a sighting when my grandson was sleeping the night about 2 years ago. We named that one Invisible Dennis after a ghost in the TV series Angel. Probably the worst thing that happened in this house was when my son was 3. I was almost asleep and felt something pulling the blanket off me from the end of the bed. When I tried to look, of course, I had sleep paralysis, but I kid you not, I was pulled out of my body and saw this swirly, black, inky entity with red eyes staring at me. It was about as I was about as shocked as I was, because I don't think I was supposed to see it, let alone be out. I was so freaked out, I slammed back into my body, jumped out of bed, and I said, "What are you doing in my house?" I was just suddenly very angry that it was there. It never spoke, but sort of turned towards my son's room. I told it, "I claim the blood of Jesus Christ. You have no authority here. Get out of my house." And it seemed shocked and sort of flew back into the exterior wall and was gone. I was so upset because I felt like it somehow threatened my child. I went to his room and was met the doorway by a crying, freaked out 3-year-old saying that big bat was in my room, that big bat, mommy. I had the house cleansed just in case it thought it could come back. To this day, I don't know what it was. When my kids say, "I wish we could see things like you have," I tell them that it isn't always as fun as all that, and they should be happy that they don't. Thanks to this forum, it's difficult sometimes knowing you see and hear things others don't always, although amusingly more people have witnessed invisible Dennis than I would have thought could, so I don't feel nearly as odd about this one.
I think that it's actually a blessing that her kids don't see things as much as she does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they saw the invisible Dennis, but he doesn't seem to be very bad.
Yeah. Just kind of there,
mm-hmm.
But the big bat.
Yeah.
The big bat, mommy. That's a little bit of proof there for her also, just of like, I'm not losing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like somebody else's experiences as well. Unfortunately, it had to be the kid, but
sure.
A little bit of proof nonetheless. There you go. Thank you for writing in. Thanks for sharing those experiences with us. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening. Greatly appreciate it. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Do it for yourself for Christmas. Huh?
There you go.
It's a good little gift there. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Sign up for that. You can even do it through a Patreon if Patreon is your thing. It all starts at ghostpodcast.com to choose your own adventure, if you will,
okay,
of which way you want to do it. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.